In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you today. And today we're going to be talking about some of the sayings of Pope Leo XIV. We've looked at sayings of Padre Pio and Mother Teresa and Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati and others. And today we're going to take a look at some of the sayings. He's only been Pope for just a few months, of our latest Pope, Pope Leo XIV. So we're going to share some reflections. Would love to hear from you. What are your impressions of Pope Leo XIV so far? Would love to hear from you. Give us a call today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And as I mentioned, this weekend, I will be in Hays, Kansas, and Salina, Kansas, doing some giving a keynote address at a dinner for Divine Mercy Radio, an EWTN affiliate. So if you're in the area on Saturday in Hays, Kansas, or Sunday in Salina, Kansas, I'll be speaking at the radio events there. Just basically a listener appreciation. It's not a fundraising thing. It's just a listener appreciation dinner in both markets, just to thank the listeners for their support of EW10 and Divine Mercy Radio. So if you're going to be around, love to see you. Come out and say hi. I always love meeting EWTN members of the EWTN family, and of course, especially Beacon of Truth listeners as well. And then next week, I want to talk about more about this next week, but when I get back the week after that, I'm going to be first at a men's conference in Midland, Texas, and then on a speaking tour, kind of a week-long speaking tour, and throughout the state of Texas with my three friends from Australia. So three Australian speakers who've been on the show before, Dr. Robert Haddad and Charbel Raish and Kevin Bailey. They've been on EW10 Live, and we spoke 2 years ago in Birmingham, and you know, we did a speaking tour for the past 2 years, and we're doing another speaking tour this year, but just to cover the state of Texas. And so I'll be giving out the locations where we're going to be. So if you're in the area there in Texas, just come out and see us. We'd love to meet you. And I'll have the guys on the show again in 2 weeks from now when we're on the road. Just they're very interesting, very engaging, and give us a snapshot of our church from other parts of the world. So I'm very much looking forward to that. So stay tuned. Also, I want to just remind you about some pilgrimage opportunities that we have coming up. So next year, well, I'm going to be on pilgrimage in October in Italy. But for next year, we've already got the date set for that. We're going to be going to Guadalupe, Mexico in May of next year, 2026. And Father Matthew from EW10 is going to be joining us as our spiritual director and as kind of our pastor on that trip. And then we're going to be going to Ireland as well in June 2026. And Father Patrick Mary from EW10 is going to be with us on that trip. And then in September, we're going to Japan. And Father Leonard is going to be with us there as our chaplain. And then finally, we're going to be doing Eucharistic Miracles of Italy, October of next year, with Father Mark. Mary is going to be with us. So people have already been signing up. There's so plenty of room and plenty of time for you to join us. Would love, love, love to have you with us to experience this incredible pilgrimage experience where we deepen our relationship with Christ and his church and get to know people from all around the world, because my pilgrimages don't just encompass people from the United States. They come from different parts of the world. But we're going to be meeting together to experience the deeper intimacy of Christ's love in these amazing pilgrimage sites in different parts of the world. So we'd love to have you join us. Go to my website, deaconharold.com. Click on the pilgrimages tab at the top of the page, or just scroll down just a little bit. You'll see a huge banner that says Harvest Journeys, and just click on that and get all the information and sign up to join us today. And what I'd love to do, and I need to work this out with Ace, is have a Beacon of Truth pilgrimage. Imagine that we kind of have music and faith, and we're visiting places that kind of integrate both.
Yeah.
I think that would be a lot of fun. What do you think, Ace?
I'm down. I love when we can kind of the idea of just going on tour in general, like, right, we could, you know, maybe bring some instruments, we could do some music in the streets, and, you know, just kind of be a part of the culture. I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, so it'd be kind of a dual purpose, right? Because, like, when I went with Father Leo Padalinghung, obviously it was a deeply spiritual experience, but we went to a winery. We did like a wine and cheese tasting thing, and then mm-hmm. He cooked dinner, you know, and he cooked and talked about the faith. And so we could do something creative like that, you know, kind of have the music and the faith, of course, experience the power of God's love and mercy in these particular holy sites, but also maybe bring some musical aspect to it as well, and kind of tie it all in. I think that'd be, we need to sit down and talk about that, because I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
And unique. A unique way to experience our faith.
Well, and I love the idea too, as a musician, to always be learning. So what inspiration from wherever we go can we then either bring back stateside, or a meshing of the worlds, right? It's, you know, Americanized music with, you know, wherever we are, and just kind of seeing how those instrumentations might work out.
Yeah, that, and also when we're there, to learn about what the instruments were at that time in the particular place where we are,
yeah,
you know, how they were used, particularly how they were used in the worship of God,
mm-hmm.
you know,
absolutely,
all different things like that. I think that'd be fun,
yeah,
way to engage our faith and have some good food and some good music, and you know, have some lots of time for prayer, adoration, you know, mass, confession, all those kinds of things. I think it would be just a wonderful. So we just have to think about that. Maybe if you're listening, if you think, oh, I'd love to go with Deacon and Ace on a pilgrimage, think of some places where you think it'd be cool, yeah, for us to go. And maybe Ace and I will plan it out. And maybe your wife can come with us, Ace. You know, are the kids old enough to stay home by themselves for a little bit?
Oh, sure. Yeah. They would probably love that. Or at least I know my son would. He'd be like, ooh, all right. I can eat ramen for X number of days and not be questioned. You know, so.
But his sister is old, right? So you'd have to be in charge.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing that's kind of funny about my kids is that, like, they've learned to, like, really love and appreciate and respect one another. But mm-hmm. after they've spent a lot of time together, between now being in the same school, being in the same shows, like, they're together a lot. So when they're home and they're away from each other, it makes sense. So anytime they come out and they veg on the couch with my wife and I, we take that as a treat, because they are enduring one another. You know, because, okay, well, the extroverted sides of themselves have replenished, and now they don't mind each other again. So, I don't know. It's kind of like the brake pad and the axle. If you remove the brake pad, it's metal on metal at some point, you know. So, I think they would do great. Or my son, I think, especially, would probably be open to even coming as well, you know.
Oh, like, that would be great.
The idea of seeing the pilgrimage through his eyes, and because he's very much, like, he loves history, and he loves knowing the thing that no one else in the room knows. And then when he shares it, you know, he feels like the smartest. And he is. Like, I mean, he just did his practice ACTs as a freshman and scored like 2 points shy of a perfect score. So I don't worry about this kid at all, you know. but when it comes to music and kind of how that all ties together and influence, like, he draws off of that. So I just love his curious eyes, you know.
Yeah, I love that, because one of the things when we have pilgrimages, the guides that we have, man, they are so incredibly knowledgeable mm-hmm. about the places that we're visiting and the holy sites and even some of the history and the background historically, culturally of the places that we visit, to give the context for the faith, you know. And so I'm always constantly learning from them. You know, and it's and I said, I love learning. Obviously, I got thousands of books that are sitting behind me here in my office. So I think that'd be a great experience for you. So we need to think about that, and maybe start planning some. That would be a lot of fun. Maybe for like 2027 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then we can get like tour jackets or shirts made, and then everybody will feel.
You're thinking about the swag
it's
already.
All about
man.
The swag,
we haven't even
man.
Planned the thing yet.
We'll have custom fedoras. It'll be a beautiful thing.
Oh, I would wear one.
Yeah.
I would wear a fedora. Like Deacon and Ace with matching fedoras. That would be cool.
Then they would know, oh, that's the pilgrimage that's in town for the
because
week.
Because I am bald. You know, I have to have something to cover my head anyway.
Absolutely.
You know, especially if we go during the summertime or something like that.
I mean, nothing against a good dad cap, but I mean, fedora, I mean, you got to class up the joint.
All right. You listen to Beacon of Truth, and today we're talking about the sayings of Pope Leo the 14th. Of course, we would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986. Yeah. Got the classical vibe going on again. That is awesome.
Told you, classing the place up.
Love that.
Like, what I would love to hear is this on a guitar with a little distortion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep. A little pregio action going on.
Talk about, you know, things that are interchangeable. Like, if you go and take, like, a metal song and strip it to these kinds of instruments, it totally changes, and you have a whole new appreciation and vice versa.
Yeah, you know, there's that the rocker guy, Yngwie Malmsteen, who does, they call him a Bach and roller.
Yeah.
You know, so he plays, obviously his whole style is classical.
Yeah.
But he plays it like a metal type of style. And in fact, there's a video of him playing with the Japanese Philharmonic Orchestra.
Mm.
Where they're playing his stuff, and the orchestra is full orchestra in the background with a conductor and everything, and him playing kind of like he'd be like the lead violin, like first chair violin or something like that, but yeah. Except he's playing his electric guitar, but with the it just sounds magnificent.
Mm.
and like it fits,
sure,
you know, because like that doesn't really go, but no, when you hear it in that context, especially with his playing, it's brilliant.
Yeah, I love that. He's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I saw him live too my freshman year in college.
Yeah,
he played actually it's funny. It was like in a high school gym.
Wow.
in South Bend.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was before. That's when he like first got to the United States and first started touring. That would have been like 84.
Okay.
You know, and he was playing. It was pretty packed, but man, he was just people were just loving him. It was awesome.
Have you ever seen Trans-Siberian Orchestra?
Not live, no. Mm. No, not live.
It's amazing. I saw him when I lived in Grand Rapids, and I was like, okay, now that's Christmas.
Yes, exactly. That's the first thing that comes to mind when I think about them is Christmas.
Yeah.
So, awesome. I'm Deacon Harold Burke, series listening to Beacon of Truth, and today we're going to take a look at some of the sayings of our Holy Father, Pope Leo the 14th, and would love to get your impressions of him and your thoughts about some of his sayings so far. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, of course, tonight with Raymond Arroyo, the world over, addressing the political assassination of Charlie Kirk. And of course, as they have that discussion, what are the ramifications moving forward? So Dr. Alveda King going to reflect on to that, as well as Claire Lopez, a former CIA officer, going to help to really kind of help us understand this tragedy. And as an expert in the field, can really shed some light into that. So tonight, it's the world over with Raymond Arroyo, 8 o'clock Eastern on EWTN TV and radio.
All right, my friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the Psalms that we hear in every single Mass, whether it's weekday Mass or a Sunday Mass, Solemnity, we always have the Psalms. The Psalms are called the Book of Sung Praises. From the Hebrews used to use the Psalms in their worship as well, and we use them in ours. And we take these beautiful Psalms that we also pray in the Liturgy of the Hours or the Divine Office, and we connect the Psalms to your everyday lived experience. And today we're going to continue our look at Psalm 137. So 137 is in book 5 of the Psalms, 107 to 150. 137 obviously is near the end. This one has no prescript or superscript, so we don't know exactly who wrote this psalm, but it was clearly written either during the Babylonian exile or shortly after, and they're remembering their time and their experience in Babylon. So we're going to try to finish off the rest of this psalm. And this is one of these psalms where they cut out verses. Maybe it's, like I said, the Psalms 58, 83, and 109 are not even included in the breviary, in the Liturgy of the Hours, the four-week cycle, because of the imprecatory nature of the of those psalms. And the parts of other psalms are also not included. And this is one of those. And you'll shortly see why. Okay. So Psalm 137 starts off, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and wept, remembering Zion." So obviously, like I said, this was written during the Babylonian exile or shortly after, as they're remembering what it was like to be in exile. And so we looked at the first five verses. We're going to start at verse 6. So 137, verse 6. "Oh, let my tongue cleave to my palate if I remember you not, if I prize not Jerusalem as the first of my joys." You know, it's very interesting. So the Babylonian exile happened and King Nebuchadnezzar was allowed to come in and take captive the Israelites because they refused to follow God's will. God said, "Okay, this is what you need to do." The Israelites said, "Nah, we're not doing that. We're going to do our own thing apart from you, God." And so God said, well, I want to be the king of your life. You know, I want to be your father. But if you don't want me to be, that's okay. You know, that means then if you don't want to be under my care and under my protection, under my fatherhood, well, you're going to be the under the rule of the culture. So here you go. And so when that happened, then the King Nebuchadnezzar came and they came under Babylonian rule. And so they were exiled to Babylon. Remember, he took in the book of Daniel talks about this, how he took their items for worship and put them in his kind of museum. Now there were trinkets and toys and things like that. So now they're grieving. Now they're remembering, if my tongue cleaves to my mouth, I don't remember Jerusalem, what things were like there when we were there, then why did you stay in faith with God then? But not judging them or criticizing them. Why? Because we follow the same pattern, right? God wants us to be in relationship with him, but yet we sin, we fall away, we make mistakes, we give into temptation. You know, we overeat, we overindulge, we give into lust, we do all these things that separate us from God's love. And there's consequences for that, right? There's consequences in our lives, even a consequence in the lives of other people when we sin gravely. You know, and thanks be to God, he gave us the sacrament of reconciliation, you know, so we could come back to full communion with him, where it says in Ezekiel 18, where God actually forgets the sin. He doesn't remember the sin when we confess that sin to the priest and we're given absolution. Jesus Christ is obviously working, he's the one forgiving the sin through the priest. And so now they're remembering, you know, "If I prize not Jerusalem as the first of my joys," you know, so again, God allows this to happen. So maybe they'll learn from this experience. Next time you should trust me because I love you. And when you're in my love, you're in my trust, you're in my care, you know, you're going to go through some trials and difficulties, but you're going to know that I am with you, right? And it continues. Remember, and now here's where the imprecatory parts come in, right? So when we pray this in the breviary, these two verses, verses 7 through 9, are left out, okay? Here's what it says. "Remember, O Lord, against the children of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, when they said, 'Tear it down to its foundations.'" So he says, "Remember, Lord, what they did to your holy place, to your holy city, to your holy people." You know, and they're saying, "Remember against the children of Edom, the day of Jerusalem." So let this. So it's very interesting. He's not saying to kill them and wipe them out, because that would be your first instinct, wouldn't it? You know, just get rid of these people. Just scrub them from the face of the earth, Lord. No. Instead, he says, remember against the children of Edom. So he goes, no, keep them alive. Bring your just, keep them alive so that they can tell the next generation what God did for the people of Israel. See, that keeps the memory alive. If you keep alive, if God executes his justice, you know, and the people are freed and they see, wow, God is really with these people, that they can, that the enemy will be able to tell the next generation, don't mess with them because they have this God on their, this side, on their side. And that God, they're not just fighting themselves. They have this God fighting, you know, the Lord of the universe fighting with them and for them. And that's exactly what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, if you remember. Once he saw the three young men, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael not burned in the fire, he came around and he said, there's no God that can save this way except the God of, well, he called them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He changed their names to Chaldean pagan gods. But he said, there's no other God that can save in this way, right? And so we should be proclaiming that as Catholics, that in the midst of this culture, there is no other God that can save in the way that Jesus saved us by his death on the cross and his resurrection that opened a door for all of us to new life. And then last few verses here. Okay. O daughter Babylon, destroyer, blessed whoever repays you the payment you paid to us. So this is still back in the day, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth kind of thing. But this is the line that everybody quotes. And sometimes they quote it out of context, right? It says, O daughter Babylon, destroyer, blessed whoever repays you the payment you paid to us. Blessed whoever grasps and shatters your children on the rock. Ooh, now you're going, oh, wow, that's pretty brutal. And I can see why they left that verse out. You know, but what are they saying here? They're not saying, Lord, like you do this to them, right? What he's saying is that bless whoever pays you the payment you paid to us. So that someone else comes in and does to you what you did to us. So they're not saying let us take revenge against them, but let someone else come in and let them do to, so that they can experience what we experience. So obviously, when they came in and took over Israel, you know, they obviously killed some of the children and destroyed some of the families as well as their possessions and things like that. So they're saying, blessed whoever grasps and shatters your children on the rock, right? So, and obviously, we're living in a time today. We don't wish those kinds of things to happen. Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for them. So when I pray this psalm, I include these verses, these imprecatory verses, because again, we need to look at these verses Christologically. We need to look at these verses through their fulfillment in Christ. So, the Lord is saying, love and pray for your enemies. So yeah, pray whoever grasps and shatters your children on the rock. So for us, I would take that to mean, Lord, take the hardness of the hearts of the people that don't know you, that turn away from you, that are persecuting us, and smash their hard hearts against the rock, so that those hearts shatter, that the hardness of their hearts shatter, and then what's inside their hearts can be revealed, and that now that their hearts are open, they can experience the power of your love and mercy and begin to see you and to see us the way we experience you, Lord. That's the way that I would look at this psalm, these imprecatory verses, look at them through the eyes of Christ. All right. Well, today we're taking a look at the sayings of Pope Leo the 14th. Would love to hear your thoughts about our new Holy Father. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Afternoon workout.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like one of those workout videos from the 80s or something like that. Or with lyrics, could be a theme song to like a sitcom or something,
right?
Like that.
The ones that used to do the freeze frame, you remember that? When they would like be in action and then they would turn and, you know, and then they would just pause. They don't do those things anymore.
Yeah, that's so true. And I love, this reminded me like, oh, what was that show called? Believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, Greatest American Hero.
Yeah, right.
Which I love the spiritual context of that he lost his book, his manual, and so he didn't know how to use the suit, much like without God's word in our lives, like we don't know how to function, right? We just kind of fumble bunny through life. So I always love that connection. And when I'd watch that show, I was like, see, if you just read the manual, find your manual. Where's your manual?
Yeah, see, there you go. It's awesome. I'm Deacon Hal Burke, series listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're looking at some of the sayings, the early sayings of our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV. Would love to hear from you, hear your impressions of here, get your thoughts on some of the things that he's preached so far. Give us a call today on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, we love celebrating when our affiliates are in fundraiser mode. So fall fundraiser, say that three times fast, is going to be affecting our friends at St. Gabriel Radio. So starting Wednesday, if you're living in the area that's Columbus or Athens, or really even if you stream them online, support Catholic Radio and see the difference that it's making in your community. Of course, we pray for St. Gabriel as they head into that. And again, thanks for your support. Be praying about your gift. And as we, of course, continue to get into fundraiser mode. A lot of our stations are in that, so we just lift them up in prayer as we support Catholic Radio here at EWTN.
That's right. So important. And I say this all the time. Who would have ever thought that an early 20th century technology would become one of the main catalysts for evangelization today in the 21st century? All the technology we have, radio is still bringing it.
Amen.
You know, I love that.
Amen.
All right. We're talking about the sayings of Pope Leo XIV today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you, your thoughts, impressions of the Holy Father thus far. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Carolyn is calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, listening on the EWTN app, which is awesome. Carolyn, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello. I really like his hello that he said. What I recall is he said, peace be with you all.
Yes.
And it was not peace be with you guys. I don't like that. I don't like that guys word. But or peace be with all of you was okay too. But I'm Southern, and I like the you all, or y'all, but, you know, you all, I like that. That's a better, you know, all of you is fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not guys and dolls. I hate that guys area saying, but he was very welcoming to say that. And from Chicago and everything, and with a Louisiana connection to me. And, you know, just very wonderful, and I pray that he is a good bridge for all of us.
Yes, wonderful. wonderful observations, Carolyn. You're right. I mean, you know, coming out on the balcony, on the loggia, and just, you know, peace be with you all. You know, it just opening his arms, you know, and welcoming everyone to this new under his leadership, under his, like, as it says in the scriptures, as a mother hen gathers her brood under her wings, you know, and he's just opening his arms and welcoming everybody, you know, and what a great way to set the tone for his pontificate by opening his arms and welcoming not just Catholics, but everybody. Right? Everybody. And you're right. He didn't say you guys. I'm from Jersey. So you might use guys, you know, something like that. That would have been a more Jersey way to say it. But but open his arms and just welcoming everybody into this new adventure. I remember when St. John Paul II walked out and he said, first words were, be not afraid, you know. and now we have the Pope Leo XIV. Bringing peace, you know, and not just peace in the world. Because think about it, when he became Holy Father, you know, we had the and still going on Ukraine, war in the Ukraine and Russia, the Middle East, Israel and Gaza, and all that stuff going on, unrest happening in the Korean Peninsula, you know, different things going on, kidnappings and things on the continent of Africa and many countries there, burning of churches in India, persecution of the church in China, all these things going on. And he's calling for a message of peace. Take a deep breath. God has got this. Let's focus on those things that are going to bring us into deeper intimacy with the Lord. And I open my arms wide and welcome all of you into this journey with me. And I think that's a beautiful way to start off his pontificate. So, Carolyn, love your comment there. And appreciate you so much taking the time to call in today. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And we're talking about the sayings of Pope Leo the 14th. What are some of the things that you enjoyed hearing from him? What are some of the things that you maybe be inspired by what he said? You know, hasn't been Pope very long, but I think he's already making an impact. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And speaking of peace, carrying on that theme, one of his first greeting after being elected was and greeting people. He said, "It is the peace of the risen Christ," right? A peace that is unarmed and disarming, humble and preserving. A peace that comes from God, the God who loves us all unconditionally, right? That was his first greeting after being elected Pope. You know, I love that. The peace that it reminds me of what Jesus says in John's gospel, a peace that's beyond all understanding. Right, a peace that's beyond all understanding. And given in light of the events that have recently happened, the shooting yesterday and then the shooting a couple of weeks ago in Minnesota, you know, in fact, I just found out that I have a good friend of mine who that was their parish and that their kids went to school there, you know, at that place. And so they and they know the mother of the person that did. I mean, it's all these different things, you know, so. It's real easy to become angry. It's real easy to, at this point, turn to television and social media. But no, only God can give us answers. God can give us the peace that we're searching for. So our focus shouldn't be on anger and resentment, animosity, because you cannot resolve situations with violence. I don't care who you are. I don't care who to, like I said, I don't know. I really didn't know a whole lot about Mr. Kirk. But evidently, you know, he is conservative Christian. But if he was a raging liberal, who cares? You don't solve problems with violence. You don't solve problems by taking another person's life. You know, that's not the peace that Jesus spoke about. And that's not the peace that Pope Leo is talking about as well. A peace that comes from God that is unconditional. A peace that's beyond all this. That's what we should be striving for and working toward as a church, right? So we're talking about the sayings of Pope Leo the 14th today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Mary is calling from Cleveland, Ohio, also listening on the EWTN app, which I listen to every single day. Mary, thank you for calling us on Beacon of Truth. Mary, are you there from Cleveland?
Oh, you are very welcome.
Oh, there you are.
Can you hear
me? Okay, I can hear you now.
There I am. Okay, sorry about that. We were waiting and waiting on the day. And when he came out and he was an American Pope, we were just in a state of awe, actually. And then he gave the speech and he didn't speak English, which I thought was absolutely brilliant because he could read the room, basically. And he really made a statement of saying, "I'm here for everybody." And I think that was very clear in his opening address.
Yeah, great observation there, Mary. You're absolutely right. And I was stunned when I found out he was. First, I said he was American. I was like, wait a minute. And I'm going through in my head, okay, I know most of the names of a lot of the bishops, but his doesn't sound familiar. What diocese is he in? You know, and that's why he didn't sound familiar, because he had not lived in the United States for a very long time. Obviously, he spent most of his time as a priest and a bishop in South America. And then he became superior of the Augustinians and lived in Rome for a while. So then he learned Italian and obviously his Spanish and Portuguese are he's fluent, you know. And so you're right. I thought it was great, too, that he came out and did not speak English. You know, that he's showing he's a pope for the world. You know, there was Americans a pope for the world. Because I never thought they would elect an American pope. You know, and I was surprised. I thought, you know, just like everybody else, the kind of the names that were floating around that everybody was kind of thinking about. And then completely unexpectedly out of the blue comes this this American. And I think, you know, the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding the electors to elect Pope Leo. And I'm grateful for his leadership so far. And I love his message of peace. That is so needed in our culture, in our world today. There's so many people that are angry. There's so many people that are brooding over what's going on. And when that happens, Mary, they can't find the peace also within themselves. You know, not just peace in the world. They can't find the peace within yourself. And what's that song we used to sing when we were kids? Saint Francis, let peace begin with me, let there be peace on earth. And I remember singing that as a kid in grade school, Catholic grade school, let there be peace on earth. I remember that line that said, let it begin with me. So how can we be examples of the peace that's beyond all understanding, of witnesses of peace to the world, if we don't have peace within ourselves first? You know, so I love that he emphasized that. So, oh, Mary, thank you so much for your wonderful call and sharing your thoughts about the sayings of Pope Leo XIV. That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. What has impressed you about him? What sayings that have you heard that has struck you, made an impression on you? We would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-EWTN. 288-3986. Bernadine is calling from Spokane, Washington, from my neighbor to the north, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Bernadine, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Deacon. You are so enthusiastic about faith that I wish every person had your enthusiasm and deeply, you know, loving God and Christ. And so I called today to answer your question about what the Holy Father said or when they came out on the balcony. And I'm 85, and I thought, as I watched him raise his right hand and say, peace be with you, what went into my heart immediately was the card that we got from St. Faustina, which Jesus gave her, of his standing there with his right hand up and his pointing with his left hand to his heart, the water and the blood. And then at the bottom it says, my Jesus, I trust in you. So it's like, for me, the Holy Father was Jesus coming out saying, my peace is with you, be with you, and trust in me. And that was what I think we do with all the Holy Father saying and doing. He is Christ to us now. And pray with him and for him and listen to him. That was my thoughts when I saw that happen.
Oh, wonderful. Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And you're right. I mean, you know, it's funny. All the calls so far, and even my first comment, my first quote from the Pope, are all about peace. You know, interesting. I think the Holy Spirit's saying something here. I think that the Holy Spirit is really in the hearts of all of our callers and listeners today, especially given the events that's going on around the world, that I think God is calling all of us to move toward a place of peace, right? Peace with, and I think we can't have, like I just said, I don't think we can have peace within the world unless we have peace within ourselves. And so I think the Holy Father is encouraging us to do both. Peace in the world by first having peace within ourselves. So he says, peace be with you, because there was not just turmoil in the world. Remember, there was also turmoil within the church herself. You know, so he goes, I think he brings a sense of peace. I think he brings a sense of calm. I think he brings a sense of rationality. I think, okay, let's just step back. Let's take a deep breath and let's take another step forward. You know, so I just love that. I love how so far how he's been embracing, you know, the different cultures, you know, that he's opening his arms in peace to many others. And again, the languages that he speaks, all of that speaks to the fact that he is a pope that's going to be striving for peace. I think he's going to be a pope of community and continuity, you know, and that's the feeling that I get from him so far. You know, he canonized his first two saints, you know, his Holy Father, Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati and Pope and Saint Carlo Acutis, you know, that last weekend in Rome. And so and he's going to be actually next month I will be in Rome. In fact, I'm going a couple days early because I've been invited by the bishops of Papua New Guinea to attend the canonization of the very first saint, another young man, you know, a little bit older than Pier Giorgio Frassati. He was a young man. I don't think he was even 30 years old yet, married, and he was martyred for his faith in Papua New Guinea during the Japanese occupation during World War II because he stood up for the Catholic principles of marriage and family life when they were trying to be destroyed and undermined. He stood up and he would end up being arrested and then poisoned while he was in prison. His right now he's Blessed Peter Torot. So he'll be canonized, God willing, next month by Pope Leo, and I will be there for that canonization. Wonderful man. I've been learning a lot about him since I've been in Papua New Guinea twice now. You know, wonderful young man of God. And so he's another person that I think we can pray to these saints to bring this sense of peace back into our hearts, back into our lives, and back into the world. So Bernadine, thank you for your beautiful call. And we're talking about the sayings of Pope Leo the 14th today on Beacon of Truth. We would love to hear from you. Give us a call, my friends, your impressions of Pope Leo the 14th, maybe some of the things that he's said, some of the addresses that he's given that has struck you, that left an impression with you. We'd love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Michael on YouTube says, he's going back to Ace and I. It's a little banter about the music. He said, would love to see a Beacon of Truth event in the Berkshires with liturgy at the National Shrine of Divine Mercy and a concept, I think it means concert, with the Boston Pops at Tanglewood. Now, that would be interesting. Maybe kind of like a U.S. kind of pilgrimage. You know, we go to some pilgrimage sites around the U.S. and talk about music. And maybe have some Catholic musicians come in and as part of that, talk about music and faith. Now, that might be something that we could pull off. You know, that'd be awesome. But right now we're talking about the sayings of Pope Leo the 14th. Would love to hear your impressions of him, maybe his homily from the recent canonizations last weekend or some of the other things that he's spoken of so far. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. He also said during the Vigil of Pentecost this past year that in a divided and troubled world, the Holy Spirit teaches us to walk together in unity. Again, I love that. Talking about unity, talking about us being part of the family of Christ, bringing people together. And what brings us together? Nothing brings us together more than the Eucharist, right? All of us who are Catholic, the body, blood, soul, divinity, no matter where we are in the world, no matter what language we speak, no matter what our cultural heritage is, what brings us together is our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, especially when that faith is centered and focused on the Eucharistic Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. So I love the fact that he's emphasizing peace and unity. And he's not doing it in a way that's just like, oh yeah, just peace, oh yeah, just unity, kind of like in a pedantic kind of way. No. He's speaking from the heart of Jesus and from the heart of the church, you know, and this is something that should be imbued in our hearts, right? This is, should be something that's foremost in our minds. You know, how do we bring people back together in this broken, confused, divided world that we live in? The culture's response is what we've been seeing: violence, hatred, animosity. That's not what Christ calls us to. And that's what Pope Leo is reminding us of, that we are a people of love and truth and mercy and a people of... Now, we don't let people step on us, right? We got to stand up for our faith, right? But at the same time, we have to be a people of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would love to hear your impression, Pope Leo the 14th, 833-288. EWTN, that's 833-288-3986. Nicholas is calling from Sioux City, Iowa, listening on Siouxland Catholic Radio. Nicholas, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello, hello. So I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball at you. And
all
it's
right.
Not the things that I hear from the Pope, which are amazing nowadays, because with as much... divisiveness is going on. It's, you know, he's amazing on all levels. But I'm going to share with you something that I heard back when he first received the title of Pope Leo. Back in, I think it was like 2006, he attended a White Sox baseball game. A photo was taken, and he was with a father and a son from his diocese on the south side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And the young man called him Father Bob. And I think that really strikes well. With everybody talking about the peace and the calm that he's bringing, that is what this young man said, was he was just Father Bob. And when he became Pope Leo, his calm and his collected man-of-the-people demeanor would carry him well. And I remember that vividly because they showed the photo, and it's just, this man, this father, and this boy just sitting together enjoying a time. And I think that really speaks beyond just being Pope Leo, but he is truly just a man of the people that the world really needs.
Yeah, yeah, Father Bob. I mean, and some people say, oh, that's disrespectful to call him that. Well, hold on. Remember, he's Pope, yes, and he's due the honor, reverence, respect that comes with being the Holy Father, absolutely. But as you said, he's also a man of the people. Remember, he's a bishop, and bishops are still deacons, and they're still priests, right? I mean, I would have a difficult time. Like, if I knew a priest really well, he became a bishop, you know, I'd be slipping, oh, father, oh, wait, I mean bishop, you know? And it's not out of disrespect. It's just that, you know, that he would say, oh, it's okay, you can call him. In fact, I have some friends of mine, you know, who are priests. And when we're together, just the two of us, don't call me father, just call me, you know, whatever. I mean, again, he's not saying it like I'm demeaning the priesthood, or I'm looking down the priest. He says, look, it's just the two of us, just the two of us here. He's not saying let's not worry about the titles, but let's just talk to each other just as men who love God, you know, that kind of thing. And I think that's another thing that I think that's endearing about the Pope. He still sees himself as a loving father, as a priest. And he, of course, he is still a priest, even though he's bishop and a cardinal and now Holy Father. So I love that. The simplicity and the beauty that comes with leadership in the church. Remember, because headship, leadership, and authority, as St. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 5, is rooted in service, right? The greatest among you is the least, is the servant of all, Jesus teaches us. So I love that, Nicholas. Thank you so much for your wonderful call. We're talking about the sayings of Pope Leo the 14th today on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Kelly is calling from New Hampshire, listening on the EWTN app. A lot of EWTN app listeners today. That is awesome. Kelly, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you. Just saw this quote on Fox News just the other day. He said during...
No, I can't hear you're cutting out, Kelly. I can't really hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, if you have a radio or something, you could turn it down or off or so I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, you're still cutting out pretty bad. I can't really make out what you're saying. But we have Lucia on YouTube. God bless our Pope and everyone. I pray for world peace, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for peace every night during Vespers. In fact, I pray for the Holy Father, and I pray for peace around the world. And so that's something that's in my heart every single night when I'm praying. All right. Great show today. Well, tomorrow we're going to be celebrating the memorial of the Most Holy Name of Mary. And that's what our show is going to be about tomorrow. And remember, you can stream today's show and all of the Beacon of Truth offerings, the playlists, and the Soulful Songs by visiting Podcast Central at ew10.com/radio. And until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.